Welcome to the Know Your Bible program. This program is brought to you each week by the David J. Lewis Evangelistic Association in conjunction with the Churches of Christ. Your speaker is David J. Lewis, the evangelist of the association.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know.
Good evening. This is John David Berlin for the Church of Christ welcoming you to the Know Your Bible program. We thank you for tuning our program in this week. The Churches of Christ in Morenci, Eloy, the Tonto Congregation in Phoenix, and the Church of Christ in Coquitlam, Oregon, take pleasure in bringing you another message from God's Holy Word. And now here is my grandpa, David J. Lewis.
Thank you, John David. Your grandmother and I are very proud of you. My friends, as lovers of God's Word, I know that you have your Bibles at hand. Let's open them to the book of Ezra and chapter 7. We will read chapter 7 and 8 to obtain a comprehensive view of our lesson this evening. Beginning with Ezra chapter 7 and verse 1, we read, "Now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Zariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merothoth, the son of Zerachiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Bulki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God in heaven, perfect peace. And at such a time I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king, and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren, to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem, and whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have on occasion to bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily, unto 100 talents of silver, unto 100 measures of wheat, unto 100 baths of wine, unto 100 baths of oil and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also we certify you that teaching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethilims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose, tell, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thee, hand set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. These are now the chief of their fathers. And this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. Of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom. Of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel. Of the sons of David, Hattush. Of the sons of Jeconiah, the sons of Pharaoh, Zechariah. And with him were reckoned by genealogy of the males 150. Of the sons of Pachatamoab, Eliathani, the son of Zerachiah, and with him 200 males. Of the sons of Jeconiah, the son of Jahaziel, and with him 300 males. Of the sons also of Aden, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and with him 50 males. And of the sons of Eliam, Jeshiah, the son of Athaliah, and with him 70 males. And of the sons of Japhetiah, Zabachtiah, the son of Michael, and with him 80 males. Of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jehiel, and with him 218 males. And of the sons of Shelomith, the son of Jesaphiah, and with him 103 males. And of the sons of Beli, Zechariah, the son of Beli, and with him 28 males. And of the sons of Azgaded, Johanan, the son of Hekatritan, and with him 110 males. And of the last sons of Abadiam, whose names are Eliphat, Jael, and Shemaniah, and with them 80 males. Of the sons also of Bigvai, Yuthai and Zabiel, and with them 70 males. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then sent I for Eleazar, for Ariel, for Shemaniah, and for Ethnethan, and for Jerib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshulam, chief men, also for Jehoiarib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Iddo, the chief of the place, Kasaphiah, and I told them what they should say unto Eldu and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place Kasaphiah, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God, and by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Melai, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18, and Hashabiah, and with him Jehoiah of the sons of Meriah, his brethren, and their sons 20, also the Nethilims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because you had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed under their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents, also 20 bases of gold of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, ye are holy unto the Lord, the vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. Watch ye and keep them until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites, and the chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So took the priest and the Levites the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our Lord was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wrath and wait by the way, and we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the 4th day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest, and with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with him was Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, and Moribiah, the son of Benui, Levites by number and by weight of every one. And all the weight was written at that time, also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 90 and 6 rams, 70 and 7 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord, and they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. That's Ezra chapter 7 and 8. Between the end of the 6th chapter of Ezra and the beginning of the 7th chapter, an interval of at least 50 years occurs. During that time, the events of Esther took place, the deliverance of her people being dated approximately 475 B.C., Chapter 7 brings us down to about the year 458 B.C. about 42,360 people had returned to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel and Jeshua in 535 B.C. At the time of our lesson, their descendants were in serious need of leaders and of reformation. They had fallen upon evil days in the holy city. The Jews in Babylon were really better representatives of their religion than those living in Jerusalem. Fortunately, there was in Babylon a man prepared to take leadership in the work of reformation so sorely needed at Jerusalem. His name was Ezra. He was enabled to secure the permission of King Artaxerxes to return and to undertake this work on behalf of his people. King Artaxerxes was the successor of Xerxes, who was on the throne during Esther's time as queen. The early part of chapter 7 traces Ezra's genealogy back to Aaron. This had great significance with the Jewish people in establishing Ezra's authority. In verses 6, 13 through 18, we see that Ezra asserted considerable influence with the king. The generosity of the king in ordering supplies and equipping Ezra's expedition was for greater than that of Cyrus 75 years before. Verses 20 through 22 describe the provision of royal gifts for the temple service which the king granted. Grants were made from the royal treasury. Authority was given to Ezra to establish the workshop at Jerusalem and to form his own staff. Verse 25. Ezra was a man of faith. He felt sure that God had not deserted the city of Jerusalem. He relied so firmly upon God for help and had spoken so confidently to the king of God's ability and willingness to help that he could not decently ask for an accompanying guard from the king, chapter 8, and verse 22. It is estimated that at least 5,000 people were in the return company, including men, women, and children, chapter 8, and verse 21. They were carefully selected, chapter 7, and verse 28. The return trip was through dangerous territory. A desert is infested by marauding bands of robbers. The leaders of the people were invested with the care of the treasure, responsible men being checked off for its custody. The letter delivered it back to Jerusalem. Chapter 8, verses 33 through 34. Ezra had shrewd common sense. He had business sagacity. He was ever aware of the hand and power of God in his life and that of the people. He determined to carry out the task to which he had set his hand and heart, chapter 7 and verse 10. He knew where he was going, and he went. He wasn't a vacillator. He was as Paul, the venerable apostle, summed up his life when he wrote, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. We can learn much from the story of Ezra rebuilding the temple. The Church of Christ today is living in a spiritual Babylon. It is called denominationalism. In many areas, the church is surrounded by a neighborhood of total immorality. The church is invaded by non-biblical phrases, actions, and doctrines. Some notable men of bygone days attempted to restore the blood-bought church to what it was when Christ established it. We need leaders like Ezra, men that have the faith to learn what God wants and will set their mind to bringing God's house back to its former glory, and in using scriptures inappropriately, use them as they were intended and not to support a traditional way of practice. Cease to sing unscriptural songs that teach error to the church. Rest assured, you may become unpopular in some church circles. However, you will assure yourself popularity with Christ. We need men that recognize the power and faithfulness of God for His church. The majority of the work of a congregation is based on current financial resources. Where is the faith that we should be stepping out on? The scriptures say, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It is time for congregations to more adequately support evangelistic work where actual preaching is reaching multitudes, instead of writing a small check once in a while and being full of pride for supporting the preaching. We need leaders that are gospel-minded, as Paul wrote to Rome, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Today, so many define the gospel by quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Paul shows us in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is only part of the gospel. Read Romans chapter 1 carefully. The ones that Paul wanted to preach the gospel to are those that already knew about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They were already called of Christ, verse 6. They were already saints, verse 7. They already walked by faith, verse 8. They had the same faith as Paul, verse 12. Paul referred to them as brethren, verse 13. They were under grace, chapter 6 and verse 1. They were already dead to sin, chapter 6 and verse 2. They were already baptized, Romans 6, verses 3 through 8. They had already obeyed from the heart the doctrine of Christ, chapter 6 and verse 17. It was not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that Paul wished to preach at Rome. He wanted to preach the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. To preach the gospel is to preach Christ to all people at all times and in all situations. I partook of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ 59 years ago. I sincerely hope my preacher will preach the gospel to me and worship tomorrow during worship and at any other occasion that we meet. If the gospel ends at baptism, we are all doomed, as we read to Christians. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Ezra loved the house of God. He needed leaders that loved the church. We need those. It was purchased at a great price. As Paul admonished the Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It is Christ's body. And speaking of Christ, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Ezra loved the house of God. He was willing to put all else aside and take any risk for it. We should and must feel the same way about the church today. It is an absolute that to please God, we must put the church in the primary position of our life. After all, it is only the church that will survive this world and last for eternity. Paul assures us, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. My question tonight is, are you an Ezra? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing to search out leaders and workers in the church that have the dedication that Ezra needed to build the church back the way God would have it to be built there in the city of God? We need the same thing today. We need people to step forth and say, I will get the job done God's way. This is David Lewis for the Church of Christ, inviting you to visit us this week. In Phoenix, we're located at 1101 West Tonto Street. This is on the corner of 11th Avenue and Buckeye, and less than 5 minutes from the freeway. Our day begins at 9:15 a.m. with all Bible classes for all ages. This is followed at 10:30 a.m. by a period in which we sing and pray to the glory of God. At 6 o'clock p.m., we gather for another period of worship to God. There are churches of Christ in your area that are in partnership with this program. For those in the Morenci area, stop by and worship with the Morenci Church of Christ. If you live in the Eloy area, I recommend the Eloy Church of Christ. If you're in Coquille, Oregon, visit the Church of Christ where you are a stranger only once. If you have a Bible question, or I may be of some service to you, please do not hesitate to call upon me at 480-209-6154. I'm at your beck and call anytime, day or night. If you would prefer, you may write to me at 2114 West Apache Trail, Suite 1, number 145 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Our zip code is 85120. If you would like a compact disc of this program or a CD of any other Bible subject, let your request be known, and I'll send you one at absolutely no cost to you. On October the 13th through the 17th, the Churches of Christ are conducting our annual Arizona lectureship here in Phoenix. We have one theme for the entire week with over 50 speakers, each discussing a different aspect of that theme. All are invited and are welcome to attend. It's an enjoyable time of edification. Until we meet again at the same time next week, this is David Lewis saying that it is my sincerest wish that the good Lord bless you and keep you.